It's Kevin McCullough on AM 970, The Answer.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio. Breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Fusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
Well, we're going to try to get you healthy a little bit later on this hour. Dr. Douglas Howard will deconstruct artificial trans fats for us. Brooke Singman will report from the heart of the Fox News headquarters. Guy Benson will check in from Washington, D.C., and we start with breaking news from a fallen caliphate. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog
has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
He is playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, earlier today, just a little past noontime, the reports started coming out, and Fox News was one of the first to report. They had a team on site. They've had one for a few days, about 5 days in that area. And the word is that from Baghouz, Syria, is where I believe this is coming from, the last chapter of the ISIS caliphate, the last stronghold, the last holdouts, have been defeated. The final offensive is over. That town has been liberated. Let's get some immediate reaction to this this afternoon as we are getting you up to speed on what has gone on with Robert Spencer. He is the director of Jihad Watch. He is, of course, a multiple time over New York Times bestseller, and he has written so many books on the issue of jihad and what ISIS is doing and what Islam is hoping to do in the greater Middle East. And it's a joy to welcome him back on a good news day. Robert, many times we have spoken in the aftermath of a terrorist incident. We've gotten analysis on the immediate aftermath of something going dreadfully wrong. Today, the only thing that's gone wrong are for the enemies, and I'm happy about that. Welcome back.
Thank you. Great to be here, as always, Kevin.
So what do you make of the news, and what does it actually mean to the region?
Well, it's great news, of course, and it means for the region that a tremendous plague has been lifted from the people of northern Iraq and most of Syria, which was under ISIS control at one point. We have to remember that when Barack Obama walked out of the White House for the last time, on January 20th, 2017, it looked as if ISIS was here to stay. It was traveling on the path of normalization. It was, it just came out recently that it had an ambassador to Turkey. It was all on the QT, but the Turks were dealing with them on an official basis. And in its heyday, it had controlled a territory larger than Great Britain. So we can hope that this will bring an end to the horrors that the people who lived in those territories had to endure since 2013, when ISIS began to seize all that territory in the first place.
You mentioned what it was like at its heyday. It occupied a large swath of both Syria and Iraq. What was their total, value proposition at their peak? How much oil, how much land, what kind of wealth did they control, and how many people were literally subject to their tyranny?
About 8 million, and it was the most wealthiest terror group in the world. They controlled 60 oil wells in Iraq at their height, and they were generating billions of dollars a day from those oil wells, because they would sell the oil at black market low prices. And the Turkey in particular was buying. John Kerry asked the Turks to stop buying the ISIS oil, and they refused. So the regime was very, very wealthy, and it was expanding. And it looked as if that ISIS was going to travel the path of the trajectory of the Palestinian Liberation Organization from terror group to a recognized member of the international community and eventually a recognized state.
That would have been bad news for all involved, because, as we know, Robert, that the terror would have just continued from that point. If they had actual operational capacity, they could recruit as much as they wanted for worldwide terror conquest, so to speak. Let's talk a little bit about
that. You know, 100,000. I'm sorry, 30,000 foreign fighters from 100 different countries.
Yeah.
At their height. And that was very, very our powerful recruitment efforts on their part. Anyway, sorry.
No, that's okay. Let's talk about the current state of Turkey. You know, Erdogan is said to have, in this last Friday services, most recent Muslim Observation Day, to have played a video of the killings in New Zealand. Is Turkey... Now that ISIS is dealt with and some of that other stuff is down, are we going to have to deal with a real tyrannical power in what is supposedly a U.S. ally?
Yes, absolutely. It's a sham alliance. It should be ended. Turkey should be expelled from NATO. Erdogan has always been an exponent of political Islam. He's always wanted Sharia, Islamic law, in Turkey. This has been clear since he was mayor of Istanbul in the 90s. He's never made any secret of it. And so it's no surprise that he has effectively dismantling Turkish secularism and paving the way for the full implementation of Islamic law in Turkey and ultimately the restoration of the Ottoman Caliphate. He never moved energetically against ISIS while ISIS was in its heyday, because it was very clear he wanted to use ISIS against their common enemies, Assad and the Kurds, and then co-opt the ISIS caliphate into his restored Ottoman caliphate.
Which is all part of the grand Muslim picture. Let's talk about the impact of ISIS and your take on whether or not, because as we all know, when Iraq did not get completed to the fullest extent that it should have, and President Obama allowed and announced basically our retreat, that was really where ISIS exploded, and a lot of that old Iraqi guard was able to reconfigure with, I'm guessing it was Al-Qaeda and other forces in the region to create ISIS. Does ISIS have a chance at reformation somewhere else that you can see on the planet right now?
Yeah, ISIS is not dead. The caliphate is dead in Iraq and Syria, but ISIS is still very much with us. There are ISIS groups in Libya, in the Philippines, in Thailand, in Europe as well. And we're going to be hearing more from them. They're now turning their efforts to jihad attacks in the West. And so a lot of the media push to let these returning ISIS fighters back in and let them live in the United States and in Western European countries. It's jaw-droppingly treasonous, because these people could very well bring their jihad into the country. And the idea that they have reformed should be taken with a very large grain of salt.
Right. We're talking with Robert Spencer, who's a 19-time best-selling author, New York Times best-selling author. The History of Jihad is his most recent work, and it's highly recommended. And, of course, Jihad Watch is his blog, and I highly encourage you to be familiar with that as well. Robert, let's talk about the changing nature of our own representation in America. Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib have actually argued that those ISIS recruits be allowed to come back. These are elected representatives of Congress that are making that argument.
Yeah, and see, this is really actively insidious, that nobody would dare. You can't ask Rashida Tlaib or Ilhan Omar what they think about questions like, you know, what do you think about ISIS? What do you think about Sharia, the caliphate, the efficacy of representational government? You can't ask any questions like that. In the first place, they would probably not give you an honest answer. In the second place, it would be considered hateful and bigoted and Islamophobic even to ask. But it does seem clear, when they are advocating for ISIS jihadis to come back into the United States, that ought to be regarded as something that calls into question their commitment to the security of this country. Because there is absolutely no way to tell whether somebody is reformed and is no longer going to be a jihad terrorist or not. ISIS actually told people in its manuals of terror to be very secular, to not go to mosque, not wear a beard, not wear kaftan, don't carry around a Quran, appear to be a secular moderate Muslim until we call upon you to strike. And so how are you going to deal with that? And there are a lot of these people. You know, we're not talking about a small number. There are so many in Britain. There are several hundred jihadis from ISIS who have already returned to Britain, and the British government and law enforcement apparatus does not have the resources to keep track of them all. And so a lot of these guys are walking around free. Nobody is prosecuting them. Nobody's even watching them.
Right.
Now, that's just a ticking time bomb, and we would be stupid to follow that example.
Well, it only took 19 to pull off 9/11, and 3,000 people later dead was the score. Robert Spencer, thank you for your analysis today. Glad that the caliphate has fallen, and glad to be able to report it and get this from you today. Read his book, The History of Jihad, and, of course, follow his work at jihadwatch.org. Robert Spencer, thanks so much. Coming up, we've got a lot to get to, down to the nation's capital, then back to the Fox News headquarters, and before we're done, we're going to try to get you well today on a couple of points. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
You have afternoon ride volume and you have rain falling. It's just not a great ride at all, my friends. Northbound West Side Highway jammed up off 12th Avenue right up to the George Washington Bridge. Southbound some delays now from the 90s down into the 30s. FDR northbound, one long line of brake lights from the Williamsburg Bridge all the way up to the George Washington Bridge with an accident along the way near the Triborough. Southbound flow from the 130s down into the 50s. In Queens, eastbound LIE jammed out of the Midtown Tunnel right out into Nassau County. And honestly, it's not getting any better until you're east of Jericho Turnpike. That is one awful ride on the LIE. Grand Central eastbound jammed off the Triborough right out into the area of the Northern State Parkway. Southbound Cross Island slows Throgs Neck Bridge right down towards the LIE. 45 minutes outbound at the Holland Tunnel, 45 minutes outbound at the Lincoln Tunnel. GW Bridge about 15 minutes now on the inbound side. And now you know how not to go. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Hugh Hewitt says the media is already playing favorites.
Reuters discovered a very long story about Beto O'Rourke as a kid.
He wrote some really weird stuff, friends.
He wrote some murder fantasy stuff about killing children. That seemed to me mighty weird. If this was a Republican, the campaign would be over.
The Hugh Hewitt Show. Weekday mornings at 3, right before Joe Piscopo at 6 on AM 970. The Answer.
All right, every single week we guarantee you that Mike Connors will appear from Connors and Sullivan's law firm to come and answer a question related to your estate care and your elder care. And today's question is a unique one, given the fact that we've never talked about anything internationally related to those topics. But today's question from Fanny says, Mr. Connors, my father was born and raised in Italy before migrating to the U.S. He has both an Italian and a New York State will. How does probate work in this situation, as I don't know where to begin? Mike, I can feel her pain. How should she start?
Well, the first thing, you have to read both wills. And this is a real problem because a lot of times the standard will, let's say even the standard will we do here in New York, it says I revoke all wills and codicils heretofore made by me. So somebody does, you know, they have land in Italy, they have a will leaving the land in Italy to whomever. And, of course, there are a lot of strict guidelines on the descent of real estate in Europe. But they say that, then we do a will, not knowing about the Italian will, saying we revoke all prior wills. That will is, in theory, revoked, or vice versa. And sometimes that can cause a lot of problems. So you've got to read the wills together. In other words, our will might say, I revoke all wills and codicils done in the United States. I do not revoke the will pertaining to the real property located in Italy, so forth and so on. And we had one case that went back and forth for years, an English will that said I revoked all my prior wills. And we had a will here in the United States, and the family was fighting over that for years, and whether the person had a will, didn't have a will. And the judge finally ruled, well, if the person made the trouble of going through signing two wills, he probably didn't intend to die without one. So it worked out well, but it took about 4 or 5 years to get there.
Sure. Well, that sounds like something that would be quite complicated. And friends, maybe that's the kind of complications you have about these. That's why Mike is there. That's why he wants to know your questions and how to best answer them. 718-238-6500. His staff is standing by right now. 718-238-6500. You can also listen to Mike answer more of your questions Saturday mornings at 8 on AM 570 The Mission and Sunday mornings at 11 on AM 970 The Answer when he broadcasts the Ask the Lawyer radio show. But Mike Connors, we appreciate your help. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Kevin.
Buying a home requires a lending partner who can help you navigate through the mortgage process. A Citizens Bank loan officer can help answer all your questions and help you select the products you need in a clear and personal way. So the next time you have a question about home financing, call 212-857-6668, 212-857-6668, and ask a Citizen. Mortgages are offered and originated by Citizens Bank N.A., NMLS number 433960, Equal Housing Lender.
AM 970, The Answer.
Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
A big, busy Thursday rolls on. We've got a lot to get to. Brooke Singman from Fox News headquarters coming up next. We're going to talk about the Mississippi governor and also what the GOP Judiciary Committee members are going to publish in the days to come. But I first want to turn to Washington, D.C. Guy Benson, the political editor for townhall.com, a colleague of mine at Salem Media and actually at Town Hall, is joining us. And, Guy, it's always a pleasure to have you. We have the distinct weird experience of having lived in like three of the same major cities at different times of our lives, but all ones that we lived in for long periods of time. So I always think that that's kind of cool. But you're in Washington mostly these days, although you were in New York today. Nice job on Fox, by the way. Let's talk a little bit about the real kind of ugly side of the debate in Washington over the last couple of days, and that is George Conway, John McCain, Donald Trump, and the kind of the worst of the worst that has transpired there.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, start with the Conways and that whole soap opera. I mean, I kind of hate this story because it's so awkward.
Makes me cringe.
For that family, yeah, it's cringeworthy. And it's almost like you're watching, I hope it's not the case, it's almost like you're watching a marriage really struggling via, like, proxy on Twitter and interviews and that sort of thing. Look, I agree with a number of the arguments that George Conway makes and the critiques he makes of the president. Not always, but a lot of them. I also have a problem with this sort of trolling where he's kind of playing pop psychologist and trying to diagnose the president, you know, over TV or whatever. I don't think that that's a helpful thing. It's deliberately provocative. He knows exactly who his wife is and what her job is. And regardless of what you think of Trump or Conway or any of that, if my significant other were routinely and publicly undermining my boss, my job, my work, that'd be hurtful, frankly.
I think it has to be.
I don't like the way Trump is handling this. I don't like the way George Conway is handling this. I think Kellyanne is probably performing best of the three of them, given the very difficult position that she's obviously in.
Well, and that's not a surprise, knowing Kellyanne a long time, that she has that kind of dignity about her. She seems to be able to make lemonade out of lemons most days, which is kind of what she does for a living.
For a living?
Interestingly enough. Let's talk a little bit about this argument, and it's very popular right now on Capitol Hill, and the presidential candidates are going to start to be asked about it. But this concept of packing the courts and this discussion of maybe expanding the number of justices and all that kind of stuff. Guy, where did this conversation even come from?
Well, I think it's pretty basic. The Democrats are mad that they lost. They're mad that Trump is picking Supreme Court justices and lower court judges in record numbers, circuit level. And when Democrats lose and feel like their birthright to power is interfered with, they want to change the system and blame the system as broken, because in their minds, they deserve to be in power. And if they're not in power, there's something wrong. And rather than going out and winning under the established rules, they want to change those rules. And this is just one example of it. I mean, you know, I've been arguing on Fox recently about this with some liberals who say, well, it's not necessarily court packing, because one of the proposals would, yes, we would expand the court to 15, but each party would get the equal number of blah, blah, blah. The only reason Look, it has been nine justices since the 1860s.
Right.
Okay.
Pre-Reconstruction.
FDR tried in a political move to, quote unquote, reform the court, and it's some of the same stuff being discussed today, and he failed. And it was an overreach, and it was blocked, and it's sort of one of his negative legacies, certainly. And now we're hearing about it again. You know, some of my counterparts on the left will say, well, as I said, it's not court packing. Whatever you want to call it, some of the proposals are much closer to court packing. Some of the proposals are various other reasons of undermining the institution as it exists and quote unquote reform. We would not be having this conversation at all if Hillary Clinton were president. Period.
That's correct. No.
And if it was brought up, it would be brought up by some like fringe Republican backbenchers, and the entire media would declare a constitutional crisis. This is sore loserism from the people who claim that Trump is a unique threat to our norms and institutions, who are very happy to throw norms and institutions into the dumpster and light them on fire if it feels like it will give them additional power. It's
well,
that
we're,
simple.
We're seeing that with the Electoral College discussion as well, now that most of the Democrats have weighed in.
16-year-olds voting, right? Like, it's just one thing after another. You all these think pieces on the left about abolishing the Senate or reforming the Senate, it's... When the rules don't go their way, they want to throw out the rules and meanwhile lecture us about norms. It's really quite something.
I find it weird that Beto O'Rourke is actually open to the 16-year-old voting law, considering what he wrote as a 16-year-old.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, he's a weirdo, I think. there are some elements of him that I think are appealing and attractive, and I get that. But there's something about him, a vibe that I get, not just the writings when he was a teenager, who cares, but
right.
Even as an adult, some of the stuff strikes me as weird. It does.
Okay. You had a very interesting, and by the way, friends, I want you to follow Guy P. Benson on Twitter, because he's one of the better reads on that social media, but you had an interesting conversation with a friend recently about taxes, and it is the tax season. How'd that go?
Well, it's, you know, so this is a liberal buddy who was complaining about being screwed over by the tax law. I was like, well, what do you mean you're screwed over by the tax law? He said, well, I can't deduct as many things anymore, and I need to deduct more things. And, you know, he wasn't happy with the simplification because certain deductions were eliminated under the law. And I said, okay, but ultimately, though, did that result in a net tax increase for you? Because that's only 3 or 4% of the country, and pretty rich folks, frankly, who face a tax increase. It's, you know, 80 to 90% tax cut for the country. And he said, well, he admitted, he conceded that he got a tax cut. Said, well, when you add it all up, and, you know, I am paying less in taxes. I'm like, okay, so that is not you getting screwed. like just because some of your deductions went away, if at the end of the day you are paying less in taxes, you're not getting screwed.
You're still paying less.
And he said, we'll agree to disagree. I'm like, okay. I don't know what I can do with
that. That's the way the left often ends those discussions. Guy P. Benson, you got to follow him on Twitter. He's worth the read. Guy, it's always fun to have you back. Thanks for being here.
You bet.
Kevin McCullough, when we come back, we're going to the heart of Fox News headquarters. Brooke Singman with two major stories we're talking about next. Stay with us.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
We have rain, we have wind, we have fog. It is 45 degrees on this Thursday evening. What's going on? We have the answer. Well, breaking news out of Lower Manhattan, the Florida man accused of sending explosives in the mail to prominent critics of President Trump has pled guilty in federal court. Last year, Cesar Sayoc said devices that could have exploded to places like CNN's headquarters here in Manhattan, the home of former President Barack Obama and his wife Michelle, and other outspoken Democrats who have criticized the president. Prior to his deal, Sayoc faced charges that could have sent him to prison for life. He was reportedly arrested in a van that had been covered with pro-Trump and Republican stickers. The future of congestion pricing here in New York appears uncertain ahead of the coming state budget negotiations. Democratic State Senator James Sanders Jr. of Queens dismissed the idea that the legislative effort is in trouble.
I wouldn't call it trouble. I think that in Albany we're doing due diligence on these issues. Like everyone, we have to get this one right.
A group of state lawmakers from the Hudson Valley say they won't back any congestion pricing plan that doesn't include an offset for the George Washington Bridge, New Tappan Zee Bridge, and the Lincoln Tunnel. Transit advocates maintain that given the massive amount of funding needed for the MTA and city subways, congestion pricing is an absolute must. In sports, hockey Devils host the Bruins. The Islanders are in Montreal to take on the Canadiens. Taking a look at the traffic, outbound side of the Holland Tunnel, 45 minutes, 15 on the city-bound side. 30 to 40 minutes outbound to Lincoln Tunnel. City-bound GW Bridge, about 15 minutes upstairs, downstairs, a much more user-friendly ride. Ugly ride in Manhattan on the West Side Highway, northbound off 12th Avenue, right up to the GW Bridge. FDR's worst, delays from the Manhattan Bridge right up to the George Washington Bridge. And in the Bronx, we're jammed in the Cross Bronx, westbound coast to coast, and the Deegan northbound from the Tri-Borough to the Cross Bronx. Rain continues tonight, heavy at times, low 42. Clouds, wind tomorrow, high of 50. And sunshine, but still windy Saturday, high again, right around 50. And now you know what's going on. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Imagine doing one thing that gives you an entirely different perspective about your place in the world. Think it would be worth it? Hi, it's Mike Gallagher, inviting you to join me for a 10-day Stand With Israel tour through the land of Israel in December of 2019. Come with me to get firsthand insight into Israel's fascinating past and promising future. We'll learn about the geopolitical, economic, and spiritual dynamics of one of the most fascinating places on earth. And you'll share experiences that will change how you view the world. Walk the ancient temple steps, touch the Western Wall, sail on the Sea of Galilee, pray on the Mount of Beatitudes. The list goes on. Return home inspired, renewed, and empowered. If you've ever dreamed of seeing Israel, this is your chance. Join me for a life-changing adventure to give you a renewed sense of purpose. The 10-day Stand With Israel tour, December 2019.
For more information and to register for this trip, go to am970theanswer.com. That's AM970TheAnswer.com.
One of the most popular new shows on TV this season is about a jury consultant, but it's more than Hollywood fiction. This weekend on Champions of Justice, Tom Girardi interviews a real jury consultant, Philip Anthony. Does facial hair influence a jury? What's the female factor? And what can lawyers ask potential jurors? Tune in, Champions of Justice, Sunday mornings at 10, here on AM 970, The Answer.
We all know the secret to the best Italian food is the sauce. And no one has sauce as good as Michael's of Brooklyn. Their sauce is made from scratch, using only the best ingredients. But don't take our word for it. Stop at any of your local supermarkets and pick up a jar or listen to the Joe Piscopo Morning Show every Wednesday for a chance to win a whole case of Michael's delicious, authentic, and fresh sauce. You can also enter online at am970theanswer.com. That's am970theanswer.com. Good luck.
Our hosts all look like GQ models. See them now at am970theanswer.com.
Obliterating confusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
When did he become the arbiter of what he could decide was needed to be deleted or not? That's what I mean by the oversized importance of himself and saying that I can decide what I can delete and what I can keep.
That is the voice of a major House Republican who is not at all pleased with Peter Strzok, and as a result, he is threatening to publish some of the most explosive findings of what the House investigations into the Russia probe have uncovered. And here to discuss it is the woman who reported it. She is right in the middle of the Fox News headquarters, even as we speak, Brooke Singman, a top political reporter for FoxNews.com and a regular contributor to the Kevin McCullough Radio. Brooke, good to have you back. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Kevin, for having me.
So why is this Republican threatening to do this?
Well, he's actually not threatening. He actually is just doing it. This is ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee, Doug Collins, so the top Republican on that panel. And what he's doing is just releasing transcripts from closed-door interviews with top Justice Department and top FBI officials that were conducted by the GOP-led committee last Congress. So if your audience remembers correctly, last Congress had a majority of Republicans,
right,
which meant that the chairman of each committee or chairwoman of each committee was a Republican and the ranking members were Democrats. Now the tables have turned. We've got a Democrat-led majority in the House, and now Doug Collins, who's the ranking member of this committee, is taking all of the transcripts from interviews last Congress and releasing them to the public now. So he's not really really going to separate for the readers or for journalists what's important in these transcripts, but instead release them in full. So last week we had Doug Collins release hundreds of pages from former FBI Special Agent Peter Strzok, and the day after, hundreds of pages from former FBI counsel Lisa Page. So that left some digging for us journalists to do to find out what kind of in those hundreds of pages of transcript was interesting and what was in there that we didn't know before. I spoke with the congressman earlier this week. I believe we spoke Tuesday about this, and he said that they have at least 20 more transcripts of interviews with at least 20 more officials that they plan to release in the coming days and weeks.
Well, I've always thought the transparency on the committees, because the committees are so political, and you saw it with the Democrats taking power. They immediately named all their chairmen, and then they turned the investigations that had been being done in kind of a certain fashion completely on its head. It's kind of what partisan government does. But I thought it was fantastic that he released the Lisa Page and the Peter Strzok pages, because now the taxpayers get to see what they said, you know, behind closed doors and on the record to the people that we elect. And I don't think that's a bad thing at all. And we're expecting, I mean, they've been saying this for weeks, but we are getting, I think, closer to the point in time where Mr. Mueller is going to make his final findings. And then, you know, we're going to be done with Russia. Brooke, we're going to have to move on to other things at some point in time.
That's going to be true. It's like, what are we going to talk about, Kevin?
Who knows? Hey, you've reported on another story today, and it's kind of good news if people are pro-life or they're in favor of pro-life measures. The Mississippi governor has taken a rather bold step. What's happened down there?
Republican Governor Phil Bryant in Mississippi today signed one of the strictest abortion laws in the nation into law, which outlawed most abortion procedures once a fetal heartbeat can be detected, and that's typically after 6 weeks of pregnancy. So obviously there are a lot of groups that are against this, but the governor tweeted in response to one of the groups, the Center for Reproductive Rights in Mississippi, saying that quote, you can check this out on Twitter yourself, but he said, "We will all answer to the good Lord one day, and I will say in this instance that I, quote, fought for the lives of innocent babies, even under threat of legal action." Now, he was saying that because the state is sure to see some legal challenges in the coming months before the law actually goes into effect in July, especially from this Center for Reproductive Rights. They've already signaled that they will sue the state prior to this going into law. But Mississippi is not alone in passing a bill like this, and it's one of the first to sign it into law. But you've got the Ohio legislature, which proposed a similar measure, and that first was introduced during former Governor John Kasich's term. But the new Republican governor, Mike DeWine, has indicated he would sign the bill, whereas I believe Kasich actually vetoed it.
Yeah, he did.
And then Kentucky has a similar bill in their legislature now. And last year, Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds signed the same kind of bill into law. So those are some of your more conservative states with Republican-led legislatures and governors that are passing these. But as you know, and as I'm sure your audience knows, this is a very divisive issue. And you've got states like Massachusetts, New Mexico, New York, Rhode Island, Washington, Virginia, all passing basically the opposite, saying
right.
that, you know, they're kind of right. stripping old laws from the books that would limit abortion. So
now, kids,
it really shows.
Kids will be allowed to die even after the womb in some of those states if those laws persist. There will be court action, I think, on both ends of this, and it'll be interesting to see. But I'm in favor of what the Mississippi governor's done. Brooke, appreciate the updates. Live from Fox News, it's Kevin McCullough. Stay with us.
Need to grow your business? Want to get ahead of your competition? Call Salem Surround for full-service digital marketing. Salem Surround. Digital solutions. Real results. Call Greg Cooper at 212-857-9635. 212-857-9635.
Tune in every Saturday at noon for Healthline with Dr. Bob Marshall, Ph.D., and get answers to all your health-related questions. That's Healthline with Dr. Bob Marshall, Ph.D., Saturdays at noon on AM 970, The Answer.
The Stand With Israel tour with Dennis Prager and Mike Gallagher is happening December 2nd through the 11th of 2019. Join AM 970 The Answer for a 10-day expedition to the Holy Land that will change your life. You'll get timely insights into Israel's fascinating past, dynamic present, and promising future. Experience the Western Wall, modern Tel Aviv, the Dead Sea, and so much more. All in the comfort and safety of first-class accommodations. December 2nd through the 11th, 2019. Register today. Visit am970theanswer.com.
It's the biggest event in all of college sports. And the only thing that matters is we're in. And now anything can happen.
Here comes Powell down the right side. Pull up for three. Good!
It's the NCAA tournament on the Seton Hall Pirates Sports Network.
Catch all the action tonight, starting at 9:30, right here on your home for Seton Hall Pirates basketball. AM 970, The Answer.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. I've got a tip for you. Looking for a new neighborhood spot, somewhere to spend time with friends, or maybe just a quiet meal with a loved one? Well, Olunny's Times Square Pub is just that place. Step away from the hustle of Times Square into the warm, informal atmosphere of Olunny's, surrounded by good company, great food, and very generous drinks. Olunny's serves up all your favorites, shepherd's pie, bangers and mash, a traditional Irish breakfast, and of course, that mouth-watering Irish beef stew. And your visit wouldn't be complete without a slice of their world-famous apple pie with six apples in every pie. Olunny's has over a 50-year history in New York City, and it's a Times Square location makes it the perfect place for your pre-theater dinner. They can also host your next function or party with exclusive use of their second floor. Enjoy a taste of the Emerald Isle today, as I have, and look forward to again. Stop by Olunny's Times Square Pub. As Mr. Olunny himself says, Olunny's welcomes all men and women of goodwill, whether for just a moment or for hours. Make your reservation. Call 212-840-6688. That's 212-840-6688, or go to olunnys.com. That's olunnys.com.
Ask yourself, if you built a van for your business, where would you start? At the beginning, of course, with the people who invented the work van over 100 years ago, Mercedes-Benz. You'd give your new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter advanced technology and safety to keep you connected and protected. You'd make it available in diesel and gas, and there would be thousands of configurations and upfits to choose from. You'd build it right here in the USA, because your one-of-a-kind business deserves nothing less than a van that's built for you. Introducing the all-new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, the safest, most innovative Sprinter yet, starting at just $33,790. Built for you, the all-new Sprinter, built in the USA. Mercedes-Benz, vans, born to run.
MSRP excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Options, model availability, and actual dealer price may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Equipment described as optional. 2019 Mercedes-Benz Sprinter available soon.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's the buy one, get one free paint sale at Ace, our biggest paint sale of the year. Buy a gallon of our top paint brands like Valspar and Clark and Kensington and get the second free. And you know what else is free? Our help. With the Ace Extra Mile Promise, get everything you need to paint in one trip or deliveries free. Don't miss the buy one, get one free paint sale. Now through Monday, only at Ace. Limit 2, delivery subject to availability. Visit acehardware.com for more details.
Tweet us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. We're everywhere. AM970, theanswer.com.
Everywhere I go, oh, I say use it all.
Breaking news about your wellness with Dr. Douglas Howard, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio. Proudly powered by the fruits and veggies of Balance of Nature.
I tell you, not only is the segment powered by fruits and veggies, I am as well, and have been so thrilled to introduce the fruits and veggies into my life. This started about 3 years ago when I had the worst case flu I'd ever had. And I have to tell you, I've been through this entire week. It's now officially into spring. We survived fall and winter. No flu for Kevin McCullough this year. No bronchitis for Kevin McCullough this year. No severe cold for Kevin McCullough this year. And what was the difference? I was powering up on fruits and veggies every day. Friends, you've been hearing me talk about the March Madness offer. You get 10% off if you call right now and use my promo code KMC2, and you're going to get free shipping. But you got to call today to get the 10% off your first preferred order. The number is 800-246-8751. Use my promo code KMC2 when you call. Dr. Douglas Howard, welcome back. I know you're in a new location. You're coming to us just about every week from some other place around the globe, but we're glad to have you. We're glad that you're here no matter where you are. You're always here, so that's the nice thing.
Yeah, we're going to get you out here one day.
That'd be fun. Hey, I ran across this very interesting article today in a publication called EcoWatch. I don't know anything about EcoWatch. I don't know. If they sound environmental, they may be. I don't know. I just thought the content of the article was kind of interesting because it's titled 20 Nutrition Facts That Should Be Common Sense But Aren't. And you've had a chance to take a look at this, Dr. Howard, and one of the real kind of interesting things that they say right at the very beginning is that artificial trans fats are unsuitable for human consumption. That's a good thing. I look at that number now on everything I eat because I try not to eat artificial trans fats. But what do you think of that?
Well, you know, some of these, you know, and it says this at the beginning. It says 20 nutrition facts that should be common sense but aren't. This one is a no-brainer. It really is. There's enough studies out there. This one isn't a fad. It's a fact.
What is an artificial trans fat?
What's that?
What is an artificial trans fat?
Well, it's a fat that's been broken down, and it has to do with hydrogen bonds, and because of that, it affects your how it works in your body differently. That if I had to, this is going to be a real gross oversimplification.
Okay.
But it's kind of like your free radicals of fat. Okay. And free radicals aren't good. That's oxidation. So it's not really an oxidated fat, but it's changed because of heat and different things that can be done to it to make it solid. When it's at room temperature, for example. So shortening, things like that. Even margarine. You won't catch me eating margarine, no way. But trans fats, here's what they do. So it's important for people to understand. You have good cholesterol and you have bad cholesterol. We're going to talk later on in the next week or something about cholesterol really isn't a bad thing. It's important. That's every steroid and every hormone in your body is made from cholesterol, and you know, initially, and so it's a good thing. But you have LDL, which is a low density lipoprotein, and HDL, which is a high density. High is good. Now I'm only talking about, you know, cholesterol, is not your general recreation in life. But
that's
high, just remember, high is good here, and low is bad. Think of your bank account, okay? And trans fats increases the bad LDL cholesterol levels. So that's never good because those are what go along and stick in your arteries and cause plaquing more, and they're more acidic, so to speak. They kind of can stick and kind of eat through the vessel walls worse, and they also so therefore they increase your risk of developing heart disease and stroke.
Sure.
Because that's how those things happen.
All right.
And it's associated with it. And here's what people don't realize: it's associated with a higher risk of developing type 2 diabetes. So just stay away from them. There are countries in Europe, I think the whole EU is actually going after this now, but they're outlawing trans fats, you know, and you can't put them into things. And although that's not really true because they still have French fries and things like that, which is what's going to make them.
Well, there's been huge debates here in the States about that. And you may remember McDonald's had to change its cooking oil a few years ago. And I think that was related to trans fats because they didn't want to be. You know, deemed the bad guy because they were still using that stuff. And you know what's interesting about that, Dr. Howard, is as we have talked about the Balance of Nature portfolio in the last few weeks, we've talked a lot about fruits and veggies, but you also produce one other product. You do a total of three products, the fruits, the veggies, and the fiber and spice. And oftentimes I've noticed that if my eating is not good, that an increase of fiber is a good way to offset that, and obviously staying away from trans fats completely. But talk about the interaction between fiber and getting your cholesterol where it should be.
Exactly. Fiber, and we use fiber and spice because it has some chemical attributes also, but fiber and a good healthy fiber is going to help to absorb some of those fats and help so that they're not going to be sitting along the walls of your colon and your bowel the same as, you know, as they're trying to be absorbed anyway. So it's going to help the health of your bowel. It's going to help the health of your arteries. It helps to reduce cholesterol. Fiber is well known to do these things. That's why people talk about oatmeal, you know, just eating oatmeal. Well, the key to oatmeal, yes, there's some chemical aspects, but the biggest thing is its fiber aspect. That's why it helps reduce cholesterol.
Yeah.
But you have to know where these trans fats are to avoid them. And I have to hit this so that people are aware.
Real quickly.
But you find them in baked goods, cookies, bakeries. You know,
chips.
Unless you're cooking these baked goods at home, you're going to find them mostly. Butter is not a trans fat. You also hear it called a partially hydrogenated vegetable oil. That's very important. If you see that on there, stay away from it.
Run the other way. There you go. Okay, that's just one of 20 nutrition facts that should be common sense but aren't. We're going to hit more of them in the days to come. I just want to remind you, if you want to try that fiber and spice, if you want to try the fruits and veggies, you hear us talking about them all the time. Dr. Howard has helped me so much through understanding them. There's a special offer that's for today only. 10% off, free shipping, KMC2. Call 800-246-8751. Doc Howard, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Kevin McCullough Radio coming back. My final thought is next.
And now your Greater New York Chamber tip of the day.
Hi, this is Mark Jaffe, President and CEO of the Greater New York Chamber of Commerce. We represent over 30,000 business and civic leaders. Active members can get involved with committee work. With me now is Health Committee member Peter Ciccone from the New York RX Card. The New York RX Card is one of our most popular programs and can be easily downloaded from our website, chamber.nyc. Peter, how much money has the New York RX Card saved our members throughout the state of New York?
Thank you for having us today, Mark. To answer your question, we've saved New Yorkers over $300 million since we've kicked off the program.
Wow. Now, you also have a program in New Jersey.
That's correct, Mark. In fact, we have the program in all 50 states. In New Jersey, it's the NewJerseyDrugCard.com, and that program has been just as effective.
To see if you can save on your prescriptions, visit chamber.nyc or call 212-CHAMBER. And that's today's Chamber tip.
For more details, visit chamber.nyc.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Have you ever had a legal question pertaining to elder law or estate law? Well, every Thursday during Kevin McCullough Radio, you hear from Mike Connors of Connors & Sullivan Attorneys at Law answering a listener's actual question. Simply email that question to askmikeconnors@gmail.com or call Mike's office at 718-238-6500. And don't forget to tune in to Ask the Lawyer with Mike Connors Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. on AM 570 The Mission and Sunday mornings on AM 970 The Answer at 11. Hi, Kevin McCullough. It's March Madness. You've been hearing me talk about if you've been feeling down and you don't have the energy, that March Madness discount with fruits and vegetables is still in effect with Balance of Nature. It's time to try them. You're tired of not having energy. You want more energetic experience and you don't want to put synthetics into your body. Just get fruits and veggies in vegetarian capsules and tens of thousands of vital nutrients from 100% whole food plants, fruits, and veggies. Each capsule, 10 servings of fruits and vegetables, and once you start taking them, I'm telling you, you feel great. People report that their skin looks better, they have fewer aches and pains, and they've got a lot more energy. It's time to improve the quality of your life, and it's March Madness, and Balance of Nature is having some fun and going along with these mad discounts every day, and it's a different opportunity every day. So today only, use my discount code KMC2 and get 10% off your first preferred order of Balance of Nature. Again, you can only get this discount today. It will not be available tomorrow, and you need to use my code KMC2 for the discount. Call 1-800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use my promo code KMC2 when you call. 800-246-8751. 800-246-8751.
There's a lot to learn and understand when getting ready to buy a home. Having a right lending team in place who can help is important. The lending experts at Citizens Bank can answer your questions about home borrowing or how to get started with a mortgage pre-approval. Call Citizens Bank at 212-857-6668, 212-857-6668, and ask a citizen. Mortgages are offered and originated by Citizens Bank N.A., NMLS number 433960, Equal Housing Lender.
Jay Sekulow Live is next on AM 970, The Answer.
AM 970, The Answer.
What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough saying thank you. Packed show today. Robert Spencer, Guy Benson, Brooke Singman, Dr. Douglas Howard. And I don't know about you, I learned stuff today. I think it's a good day. You learn things about that artificial trans fat. I'm not touching margarine again, that's for sure. Another one of the things that are on that list is don't make old foods the enemy, which I think is really quite cool, because in my family, that's what we did. We ate like that country crock stuff when I was a kid. And now I won't eat anything. If I'm going to eat a fat on a piece of bread or potato or whatever, it's going to be real butter. Now I can't have that right now anyway, because of some other issues. But yeah, so I'm appreciative of Dr. Howard, and I hope that you are as well. Hey, you may be hearing the conversation and the advertisements for it. It's a film called The Best of Enemies. It's a timely drama that inspires a sense of optimism that the divisiveness within our current times can be healed. It's a powerful, true story that features a hero leading the change in the 1970s in her community. It's the untold, unlikely, true story of Ann Atwater and C.P. Ellis. Ann Atwater was a fearless civil rights activist, and C.P. Ellis was a local Ku Klux Klan leader. And they were put in charge of desegregating the schools in Durham, North Carolina, during 1971. This story is powerful and inspirational and thought-provoking. It's in theaters on April the 5th. We want you to mark your calendars and get out there and support this. Can't wait for you guys to see this. It features Academy Award nominee Taraji P. Henson and Academy Award winner Sam Rockwell, and people are saying it's their best roles ever. So I hope you'll go check that out. Hey, real quickly tonight, Andrea Shaw is a young lady in high school, and she has filed a lawsuit over civil rights violations because she felt like her rights were invaded. As a young girl in high school, she had the audacity to believe that when she was changing her clothes in her local high school locker room, that she would be allowed to do so in privacy without any men around. They changed the rules. They started letting boys who said they felt like girls come in. And now girls who have been consistently kind of put at the back of the bus on the whole transgender issue, they're speaking up, fighting back. Andrea filed a lawsuit. I'm going to follow this, tell you more about it in the days to come. But good for Andrea Shaw, because her privacy rights matter, and I'm willing to fight for them. Hope you are as well. Kevin McCullough, we'll see you next time.